episode 54. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another Teach Me to Code podcast. This is your host, Charles Maxwood, and this week I'm going to be talking about, well, I'm going to be answering a question that somebody posed to me and kind of going into and hashing out what I think. But before I get started, I want to acknowledge our sponsor. We have New Relic. New Relic is a super application management tool. They really do a good job of providing just some great information regarding what's going on with your application, what exceptions are being thrown, what other problems, performance problems there are. Most of what I've used it for is actually either tracking down exceptions or working through and optimizing areas of the application that are slow. And they are so useful for that. Even their free version is actually pretty useful in just, you know, the couple of hours worth of information that you can get out of it. It's really good. I highly suggest you go check them out. You can do that by going to the website and clicking on the link on the right, or you can go to newrelic.com and just tell them that we sent you over. That would be great. Now, I'm going to go ahead and jump into this topic. I'm trying to get some interviews lined up. I just haven't spent the time to talk to people. I've had a few people say they're willing. I just haven't followed up. So I need to follow up and get some people on here, and hopefully we can line up a few interviews here for the next few weeks. I'm thinking about changing the format of this a little bit, but I haven't finalized what I'm thinking about, so that's just something to be aware of, that things may change within the next few podcast episodes. All right, well, let's get into this question. So I was chatting with a friend of mine, and he asked me, because he was facing a deadline, he said, at what point do you just give up on writing the test and just crank the code out to get it done? Because you need to have it done yesterday. And it was interesting because I thought about it for a second and I realized that writing the code without the tests, like not doing TDD for me, it actually hampers me. And it hampers me in a lot of different ways. Mainly, it's just part of my workflow now, so it's kind of an interruption not to have TDD around. The other thing is that it provides some real benefits to me as I'm coding that I think really make it worth the payoff. So we're going to talk about those. The first thing that I think TDD really gets for you is that it allows you to think through the problem. So you can codify the behavior of whatever you're testing in even just a basic input-output kind of approach. So, for example, you say, if I call this method with these arguments, I should get this result. And sometimes that's enough. But the other thing is you also are then forced to think about, okay, what other effects or behaviors should come out of this? For example, should it save the record? In Rails, that's a relevant thing. You know, should it save the object to the database? Or should it change certain attributes of my object? Or should it do these other things? And so then you start running through the scenarios of, okay, so when I put this in, I should get this back out. And this object that I passed into it should now look like this. And the nice thing is once you have that in place, not only do you know what it's supposed to do and know what you expect the behaviors of the other things that are being passed to it to be, but you'll know when it's done, and you'll know that it works when it's done, because you finish it off and you've specified what it's supposed to do. And so you really get that benefit of knowing that, hey, it works, and it works right, and I'm done with this, and I can move on to the next part. The other thing is that it forces me to think through the problem, not just to codify, okay, this is what it's supposed to do, and this is what's supposed to go in, and this is what's supposed to come out. But usually when I'm thinking that through, I'm thinking, okay, so when I implement this, I'm probably going to do something like X and Y, and that will get me 90% of the way there, or all the way there. And it really just pays off. And so by the time you get around to coding it, you've already worked through the problem somewhat mentally because you wrote the test for it. The other thing that really, really is that you wind up, for me, I love having a challenge. So, you know, I get a puzzle and I solve the puzzle. And if I'm working on a puzzle that's interesting, I actually wind up getting really focused on the problem and trying to solve it. And the test provides that for me. So when I write the test, I'm basically writing myself a puzzle or a challenge that I then need to solve. And so I wind up going in and solving it. And I can focus on that for a few hours and, you know, really wind up doing some interesting things. And so ultimately, I think it goes faster because in the end, you know that the thing works, but you don't wind up debugging this and that to try and figure out why it's not working. You wind up doing a little bit of that sometimes, but ultimately, if you're running into that, you can just write another test. Okay, so let's see. This test isn't passing, and this is what's going on. So what if I assert that this other case is the case? You know, some intermediate step. And you know, or you may find out that you need to pull part of your method or function out into another method or function that it calls into so you can test that one little piece. And what that does is it actually winds up cleaning up your code. It forces you to refactor things into a sane setup and ultimately makes you really think through the problem. And it gives you a framework to do that in because when you're done, all your tests will pass and you'll know, okay, not only have I covered what it's supposed to do, but I've also covered a few of the gotchas that are part of this algorithm. Now, when people ask me a question like this, and this is something that I really want to tear into, it usually comes down to that they're not as comfortable or committed to TDD. And ultimately, the reason, there are a few reasons for this. One is that they don't see the importance of the tests. So they're not committed to testing in general. And that's a hard thing to solve because ultimately when you're writing your code, if it works, you don't see the benefit of the test. But when you go back and you've had an experience where the test either told you that you broke something or the test told somebody else that they broke something you wrote, or you've seen something like what we've just talked about with TDD where you wrote the test and then it really paid off in the sense of, hey, this worked, you know, this worked, it's done, and you're like, oh, wow, that really worked out, because otherwise I'd have been sitting here trying to figure out whether or not it's doing what it's supposed to do. And when you start getting those payoffs, then you start to really get committed to testing. Before that, I think it's really just a matter of, well, this expert said that I should, or my boss says that I need to, or the senior developer that I'm working with does, or whatever, the community in general thinks it's a good idea, or I read this book and this guy said that I ought to. And so you start doing it, and, you know, if you don't get that payoff pretty quick, then in a lot of cases people just don't get committed to it. The other reason I've seen is that people start writing tests and they realize real quick that, hey, I'm not really sure what I'm doing here. Or if they're okay with kind of the general, I need to write a test to make sure that this functionality is in place, then what happens is they wind up not knowing their tool or, you know, some other thing kind of gets in the way and makes it hard for them to write the tests. And so they're like, well, theoretically, this is worth the effort, but it's a lot of work. And it is upfront. It is, even if you understand the testing tool in general, you'll wind up seeing, oh, man, this is an interruption in the middle of my normal flow. And when I first started doing TDD, that was the way it was for me. I really felt like it was just getting in the way and causing me issues up front. But once I had fought my way through the test, writing the code was actually pretty easy. So I highly recommend, one, that you try it for a while. It's kind of like the last one is you have to do it for at least a month. And for the last half of the month, you need to be doing it all the time. And the reason is because once you, when you start, your productivity drops in with pairing. It does. I mean, your code quality goes up, and there are certain benefits and payoffs, but ultimately your productivity goes down because you have two people that aren't used to working together figuring that out, along with figuring out the problems that they're solving. But by the end, what you'll see is that you usually get back to at least the productivity you had before with two people working on the code. And what you gain from that is a higher level of communication and a better understanding between your team. And it's the same thing for testing. So ultimately, at first, it's tedious. It gets in the way. It takes a while. It's hard. Do I test this? Do I not test this? It really does. It gets tricky. But if you give it at least a month, you know, to really become ingrained, then what you get out of it is it becomes part of your flow, so it's not an interruption anymore. And then what happens is you start to see these things pay off. And as soon as you see that it's starting to pay off, then you really get committed to it. And that makes a huge difference. One other thing that I really want to tell you is go learn your tool. So in Ruby, you have RSpec and you have test unit. In other languages, you have JUnit or NUnit or I don't even know. I mean, there are dozens of them. If you're writing for the web, you can use Selenium or Water. You need to know what the tool is that you're using, what it does well, what it doesn't do well, what you can test with it, what the limitations are, and that will help you write better tests. It'll also help you work around some of the hairy issues because you'll know how to hook into them with your tool because you understand it. I'm going through a little bit of a learning curve right now because I've been using Cucumber for my integration tests for a long time. And I was using it because a few people that I considered to be experts were saying, use Cucumber, it's awesome. And generally that's true, but the recent debate with David Hennemeyer Hansen and a few other people regarding RSpec versus test unit really made me think, and I think this is really the thing to get out of it, really made me think, why am I using this tool? And it really occurred to me that the value of Cucumber is so that somebody else can read my tests. Well, in most of my projects, nobody's looking at my tests. And the few people who are technical people like me and can understand code just as easily as they can understand English. So there's no reason for me to be writing these English sentences and then figuring out how to parse them apart so that I can use WebRat or Capybara to hook into my website. So I am learning Capybara, and I'm just going to hook it into RSpec. But that means that I need to learn Capybara instead of relying on the built-in steps that come with Cucumber that already use Capybara. So in that case, it was a simple translation to English, and it was built in that it would translate that to Capybara. But now that I want to just use code, I have to learn the library. And honestly, it's something that I should have done before, and I've used it before, but it's really something that I really want to do better. Now, the last thing that I want to focus on is just to test what you need to test. So, for example, if you're building a Ruby on Rails application, you don't need to test the framework. You don't. Unless you're running into a problem where you think that the problem might be the framework. In which case, then you'll write a test to rule out the framework. But other than that, there's just no reason to do it. The developers that are writing Ruby on Rails have, I think they have pretty good test coverage, and hopefully the library will just work. It's not your job to test somebody else's library, but if you need it to work and it is the library, then maybe you need to. So again, it comes down to what you need to do. But testing, for example, if you're writing a test for a user class, you don't need to go out and test the posts class from the user class when you're working with posts on a blog. That doesn't make any sense. You just need to test the user class, and if it does have interaction with the post class, then mock it out so you don't have to worry about the post class and just assume that it behaves in a certain way, that it gives a certain result, or whatever it is that you need it to do, and then make sure that your tests on the post class guarantee that it has that behavior. And if you can tease them apart that way, that keeps your tests a whole lot cleaner, simpler, and easier to write. Mocking and stubbing is something that I think is essential for writing good tests, but I'm not going to go into it right now. Make sure, though, that you do have a good tool for any of these practices. So in Ruby on Rails, I typically use RSpec. I typically use Capybara is what I'm using now for my integration tests. I use FlexMock for my mocking and stubbing. I use FactoryGirl to generate new objects that I need to operate on, which FactoryGirl is another thing that I want to bring up. And this is a debate with Ruby on Rails, within the Ruby on Rails community. Ruby on Rails comes with a concept of fixtures, which basically is a file that sets up several objects for you, and then you can operate on those objects. The problem with fixtures is if you change a fixture that a test depends on, then it could break the test. So I like instead to use factories, and then each object just, or each test gets its own object, and that's created when it runs. And FactoryGirl provides you with a way of creating valid, consistent objects that you can use across the board, and you can customize them if you need. So it's a nice way to just get a consistent result or a consistent baseline that you can run from. So I use a factory, and I use mocking and stubbing pretty frequently. And on occasion, I use other tools, like I use Selenium to test my JavaScript on my pages, which is kind of fun. I think it's kind of fun to watch it run because it actually pops open Firefox and runs and then closes it again. So anyway, those are just my thoughts there. But ultimately, if you understand the tools, you know how to use them, you know how to interface with them, you can make it do what you need it to do, and you just practice. You'll get a whole lot better with TDD, and ultimately you'll find that it is an essential part of your workflow, and it really does make your code better. So, in general, you should be testing. If you want to write your tests afterward, fine with me. TDD for me, though, it's an integral part of the way I work, and in the end, I get the added benefit of knowing that something broke or didn't break. So, anyway, I'm just going to wrap this up. I do want to, again, acknowledge that that New Relic is the sponsor of this podcast, and I really appreciate them helping me out with it. I also want to just remind you that if you need help with your Ruby or Rails application, you can contact me. My phone number is 801-367-6164. I also restarted the Rails Coach podcast, and you may be interested in that if you're learning Ruby on Rails. I've changed tactics a little bit. I'm trying to cover concepts that will help you become a better Ruby on Rails developer, but I'm not going to go into specific code implementations anymore, mainly because I feel like those are better covered in the screencasts rather than the podcast. And anyway, so if you're learning Ruby on Rails, that's a good place to go, or you can just give me a call and we can set up a time where I can kind of help coach or mentor you. I generally do that for a charge, but if it's a 10, 15 minute, maybe 20 minute thing, I may just help you out for nothing. But I do want to make sure that people are learning this and are comfortable with it. That was the other thing I wanted to talk about. I've gotten together with a few other people, and we're going to start a new podcast. If you're a fan of Leo Laporte and Twit.tv, this is kind of the same style of podcast. We're going to be talking about issues. We're not talking about news. We're just going to talk about issues surrounding Ruby and the Ruby community. So, for example, some of the topics that I've thought up that we could talk about are whether or not it's worth using Rails over Sinatra or some of the other frameworks that are out there and things like that. RSpec versus Test. stuff like that. You know, we'll probably talk about the CoffeeScript debate that's going on right now over the Rails 3.1 standard. Anyway, I have James Edward Gray, Peter Cooper, Aaron Patterson, and David Brady that are all going to join me on the first episode of that podcast. It should be really fun. We haven't nailed down what our topic's going to be yet, but it should be really, really good. And if you're wondering about any of those guys, just Google them and look them up. And I'm just going to wrap this up and